Hey there, welcome to Logos Conversations. It's our hope and vision to continue the conversation about important things that we started in Logos. And I had the joy and privilege of doing that with really awesome people. And so today I have Peyton Haley Johnson. Thank you guys for joining me in this conversation. Just take a moment, tell me a little bit about yourselves.
We've been married for 3 years. We have
Sunny in the background.
And yeah, I love Sunny in the background.
He's gonna put like in his 2 cents over time.
2.5 months right now.
Did you just say 2 cents?
His 2 cents.
Oh wow. Okay. That'll be very meaningful in a moment. Okay.
And so we're here to talk about generosity and how we can be more generous as a church together and be better together.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, sorry, Peyton. Haley. You can introduce yourself too.
I teach seventh grade. Peyton's a land surveyor. Mm-hmm. I teach seventh grade here. Once we got married almost 3 years ago, we came to this church. So we've been here for almost 3 years and we really love being a part of this community.
Well, we love that you guys are part of this community too. Mm-hmm. So as Peyton, you mentioned, we've been in this series called Better Together. And we're really just looking at all the different ways by God's design that we're connected. And how does that make us better? And one of those ways is in generous giving. And so I think the first thing I really want to talk about is how are we better together in our generous giving?
So we're better together in our generous giving when we unite around a mission and we...
Can we define what we mean by giving? Because I think there are a lot of ways to give.
Yeah, so we break down giving in three different categories. We can give our time, our talents, or our resources. And resources is where tithe falls under. It's our in money in the category of wealth. And so we want to focus today on tithes and offerings. And tithes and offerings is above tithe. Tithe is the standard 10% that we are commanded to give in Old Testament, and that's an act of faith and worship that we continue on through in this new covenant.
And I think 10% doesn't sound like a lot to people. So they think my job doesn't make that much. 10% is pretty negligible.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
But the way that the church functions is off of our tithes.
Yeah.
And the church in America works on a 20% tithe right now.
What do you
80%,
mean by that?
So 80% of people who are members at church don't tithe. We have, the church is functioning based off of 20% of the income that God commanded to be given.
Okay, so if I understand what you're saying, you're saying if all the income that's generated from every individual and family, we're only giving 20%
of what God commands.
Of what has given all of our individuals and families.
And that's the church in America, including our church.
That's right. Okay.
It's the general church.
It's the 80-20 rule.
Correct.
Got it.
And so think of everything that we do here at First Baptist Church, San Antonio. We have so many missions that we do. We help our own people here. We help people all in the town of San Antonio, in Texas, in other countries. I mean, it's amazing all the work that we do. We're working on 20%. If we had 100% of tithers give the way that God commanded, we'd be not on our 100% budget, which is from 20% of givers, but we'd have 500% of our current budget. We would be able to do 500%. It'd be five times what it is now.
Giving
together is significantly more. You think your $10 from that $100 gig you did as a side hustle is no big deal, but it adds up. Yeah. And it can be 500% of what we're currently doing.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible thought. That when you multiply, if we just think about the nature of the body, the metaphor that God uses to describe the church, if only 10% of the body's working, then their body's really not working.
Yeah.
Right.
So if
100%. It's not working how God intended it.
Not working how God intended it. And so if 100%, or let's just say even 50% of the body's working the way that God intends, how much more effective can we be in fulfilling God's purpose for us?
I can't even imagine all the mission work that we could do. We already do so much, but what if we multiplied it by five?
Yeah.
And not even just the mission work, but how much could we take care of our members?
Yeah.
Where our members or people in the community are suffering in different capacities. And right now, with the inflation rate as high as it is, and people are really feeling it,
we
and pinching.
Are feeling it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, how wonderful would it be if they ran to the church rather than running to the government or to any other source that they can run to? And there's not many places, but the church is supposed to serve in that way. And so
the church can meet their physical needs and then show them what their eternal needs are.
Well, and we saw that in the scripture today, right? Mm-hmm. Acts 2, mm-hmm. where they had that kingdom-mindedness where they're like, there are people around us in need, and these are God's resources. We're just going to give to one another.
Right.
That could become a greater reality.
Yeah, and it's not ours to give. We're stewards of what God is God has
money.
Blessed us with. And He has already allocated 10% to go to one place. And all we're doing is following through with that command.
Yeah. And that's still a huge thought to have, right? None of what I have is really mine anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you have to grasp that before it's easier for it to let go out of your fingers.
I think that's what people get held up on. Like when they say, oh, it's so hard to tithe. Like, I need this money for my finances.
Yeah.
But the mindset's totally off. Like, God provides for all the birds in the air.
Yeah.
And they never worry about where their food's coming from.
Yeah.
They never worry about what's being provided. Like, you are God's child made in God's image. Like, He's going to provide for you.
Yeah.
So it's not a money issue. It's a faith issue. And God says, give 10%, give a tithe, which literally means 10%. Like, just do it. It doesn't need to make earthly sense. Like, we don't serve
There's that
a creator
sense word again.
That cares about earthly thoughts. Yeah, he cares about eternal thoughts.
Hot takes.
All right, so Peyton Haley, you have the wonderful privilege of answering a hot take. Now, what we mean by that is you're about to receive a question that I don't even know, and we just want to get candid, spontaneous response, meaningful response to answer to this question. This is not to put you on the spot, although
it
kind of
is.
But it is.
It's
it is.
Fine.
But, you know, the media team thinks this is a lot of fun. So, anyway, all right.
They should.
Catherine, what's our hot take for today?
As Christians handle secular media, movies, music, social media, should be our response on a daily life, like secular media?
Oh, whatever you put in to your temple, to your body, is what will come out. So, depends on what you want to come out of you.
Okay, I think that's pretty succinct. I like that. Do you want to add to that?
I don't know, just be intentional about it. And
it's super easy to just scroll. Instagram, you just go on like their little reels. They're so funny, but
I know. It's
sometimes
easy.
I have to stop, you know, because the scroll just goes on and they go into all sorts of craziness.
Yeah. And I also think that, supporting organizations that have your, not necessarily your best interest, because it's,
well, the same opinions,
but similar values
to what it is that you want to for your kids, if you have kids to display, or you and your spouse to portray. But supporting those organizations and choosing those over something else is I think it would be a wise decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a dad, there are a few things that I consider when I think about this. One is, like you said, Haley, just being aware of the impact that what you listen to, what you feed your mind, can be very influential. Just being aware of that, that nothing's mindless. Nothing that you watch, nothing that you listen to is mindless. So that matters. The other thing that, you know, I really teach my girls is that everything that you perceive, whether a movie or music, needs to be filtered through a biblical worldview. Because they are going to watch some movies that aren't written by a believer. And there might be incredible value to it, because even as much as artists now, many artists, you know, don't follow after Christ or whatever, they don't have a Christian worldview, they are still depicting a broken world, and they have themes running through them that long for what we were designed to long for, which is rescue. And so I think all of that is in the mix of art, from what we listen to, what we see. And I want my girls to be discerning on what they listen to. But even if they watch a movie, that might not hit every point, they're able to weigh it and say, okay, I can see incredible value here. And I also can see this is where it goes awry. But that only comes with a lot of wisdom and knowing the scriptures and having a biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. I think what you said is really cool too. We're most comfortable aligning ourselves with people who share our values. And if we can do that, by all means.
I also think that we're the most marketed to generation of people the world has ever seen.
Right? Yes.
On our day-to-day life, we see so many, not just advertisements, but perceptions of how such and such is supposed to look, or how we are supposed to live, or how we're supposed to look, or how we're supposed to. All these things are shaping and forming our mind and how we're, our outlook on the world. So guarding against that and understanding that we're dealing with this as a problem from that, you know, we've never seen anything like this before.
From the day that he can open his eyes and, you know, sit in one place and receive something, our culture is wanting his mind.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Hopefully that was helpful. Thanks for the hot take, Catherine. Well, let's go ahead and make that transition. So, okay, it's better to give. We're better together when we all give generously, right? It just exponentially expands what we can do through God's calling and mission that he's given this church. And so, Haley, you've already kind of alluded to there are some hurdles, and it's a faith issue, not a money issue.
Yeah.
What are some other hurdles do you think, especially this younger generation, which you guys kind of fit into, that people really need to overcome? What are some of the hurdles that we face in giving?
I think that a poverty mindset or a scarcity mindset that if I give this amount, like, it is significant in a lot of people's budget. And so it can't be counted as negligible, because writing that check and they see, oh, well, I could use it for all these other things to take care of my family directly.
Or just to go on that
vacation
that I want to.
It is a big
deal. Like, it's just whatever priority they want to spend it on.
Right. And so we encourage that to be the first thing allocated out of your budget in the end of the month. If you leave it to the back end of the month, then there won't be anything left to give. That 10% won't be there if you don't already have it allocated and designated out in the front of the month.
Yeah.
And are we so ignorant to think that God would not take care of us if we were obedient in faith on the front end of the month? They say, God, I don't know how this is going to work on the back end of this, but I'm going to give you what is yours now.
And I think part of the difficulty with that is, like, maybe people haven't seen that. Like, maybe they didn't grow up with tithing being taught to them.
Yeah.
And they just read it as some, like, archaic thing in the Bible. But it's not archaic. It's still required today. And I grew up with my dad, like, we would have an offering plate passed to every member at the church. Everyone that was in the church would get the plate. And when it came to us, Dad would have a quarter or a nickel or a dollar or something, and we'd all get to put it in there. Yeah. And so I just thought, like, oh, this is fun. Like, giving an offering, giving a tithe is fun. I get to put stuff in the plate that comes by. And so giving's always been fun to me because my dad just made it fun. And then when I turned 16 and had an actual job, like, yes, the money I brought in, totally negligible in the scheme of, like, in the grand scheme of the world.
Yeah.
But again, I gave my 10% tithe because my dad sat me down. He gave me a budget. The first line item was 10% tithe. And so it always came out of my check first, because that's just what you do.
It was a normal rhythm of your life, even as a little girl.
And so, yes, it turned into faith, but in the beginning it was just discipline, because my dad just showed me, like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And seeing that and practicing it, there were many times where I gave out of faith.
Yeah.
I paid my way through college. Like, I had to pay for everything myself.
Yeah.
My car, my insurance, I mean, you name it, I paid the bill.
Yeah.
And I was working a few jobs, and God still always provided. I never needed.
Well, and that brings up a good point of generosity is is a muscle that we have to build. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not giving the full 10% immediately, like you need to give something in faith and in obedience, because it's something that you can work to. You have to build that muscle if it's not already, if it's not there for you.
Yeah. And
like I've struggled to give. It hurts me to write the check, so or it hurts me
Why
to give the money.
Why does it hurt you to write the check?
It does. It's harder to do so. And so what I found to mitigate that, to help me with that, is actually writing the check. Like I don't do the, we don't do the automatic draft, because then it's just out of sight, out of mind, which can be helpful.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the active participation of having the pleasure of writing this as if I'm spending it in a way.
He loves spending money.
I love spending money.
Really,
and so it's as if I'm spending the money, but I'm just giving it back to the
Well, to actually, the Lord. Which actually is a great testament to if you're spending nature or money nature is to spend, that you can be disciplined.
Write the check. Yeah.
You can abide by a budget, then anyone can. But so I think one of the things that I've thought about in this context of gospel generosity, it's the word I like to use, but is one of the hurdles I think younger generations face is they want to know where their money's going, what it's going to.
Right.
Because I do think this new generation, they're eager to give. They want to support things, but they want to support things that they really think that matter and that they believe in the vision.
Right.
And I don't think we can take that for granted anymore, that everyone just is going to give because that's what they saw. But, you know, we need to do a better job of communicating, this is what we're about. This is where your money is going.
Yeah.
As an act of worship, but also to further what God is doing through this church family.
Personally, I think we do an awesome job of that at church. Well, I don't do it, but y'all do an awesome job with
it at
church. we have a missions wall, so we know like all of the foreign missions we're doing.
Yeah.
We have the bulletin that everyone gets when they walk into church, and there are all sorts of activities and different missions that we're doing in the community there.
Yeah.
So we're aware of that. Everyone goes and watches a sermon and watches a music ministry. All those people have to get paid.
Yeah.
And so all of our money is going to all those wonderful things. Like, and if you really want all the details, like, go to the church meeting that we have every once in a while.
You're making me feel a lot better, Haley.
Well, and also making it commonplace to link the financial gift to the actual thing happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we have... And that's more that's of a family... That's more of a family done in the home, right? And also person to person, but drawing that connection that these things don't happen when we go and we do church under the bridge or whatever the case is here, they don't happen unless you have givers.
Yes, right.
Right, and so drawing that as a direct connection, I think, is an important part for motivating young people.
Yeah.
Because, and getting them involved in what their money is going to.
I think that's a good point,
right?
Too.
They have to be involved and immersed in the occasion and in what the goal and the mission is.
Mm.
And whether that's sharing the gospel or that's taking care of mothers or babies or whatever the case is, getting younger folks involved in that is the challenge and what we have to strive to do and get people involved in the church.
I think that's a really good point is directly connect what we're giving, the money that we're giving or the resources that we're giving to the ministry or mission.
Mm-hmm.
Your money is going to this, and then creating the opportunity for people to plug into that ministry. I mean, I think that's certainly a game changer. I mean, I think the other obvious thing is, and I'll be honest, as a pastor, this has been a challenge for me, is to spend more time talking about what the Bible says about money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know Jesus said more about money than almost anything else. And we can kind of be...
Everyone feels so awkward.
That's right.
Money.
We don't want to talk about religion, politics, and money, right?
Well, you know what? If you go to a counseling session, people will talk about all those things except money first. Like if you go, counselors will tell you
like
that,
they'll even avoid money.
That they will talk about their sex life far before they'll talk about their financial life.
Wow. Yeah.
And people are far more open to that. And so creating an environment where it's not about judgment or the perception of you and your household or however much you make, but talking about what our funds can do for the kingdom of God is a big portion.
Money needs to be less taboo.
Yes.
I agree. I think that's a great point, is how do we change the culture of talking about money, especially if it's the Lord's? If this is God's money.
It's our job to be stewards.
It's our job to be stewards. There's a church planting movement that started in Northwest and in Seattle, and a part of their small house groups, they would have church members, and it wasn't like this, you know, you've got to do this, but they would get together and kind of list the resources that every family had. Like, okay, we have an extra van. Okay, we have this much extra financial resources. And then when there was a moment of need within the church family, they could say, okay, we know this family has this resource to plug in to help this need. But that takes a lot of, hey, this is what God's given us. Mm-hmm. And we're ready to use it in however God wants in our church family. That's a huge culture.
Yeah, I mean, how are we supposed to know if our fellow couple in Sunday school are struggling?
Yeah.
Like, we would never know.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of resources to help them.
Yes, there is.
Plenty of people willing to give in that scenario. But how are you to know?
Yeah.
You know?
Crazy sucks!
So we are at our Crazy Sock moment. So Crazy Sock competition is where we compare crazy socks. And then Catherine gets to decide who wins the day. We do this in honor of Pastor Chris because he always wears crazy socks. So I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Not ashamed. I have mugs.
Excellent.
Is there coffee or tea inside of them?
You cannot drink from these socks, but they would have coffee.
Good to know.
Yes.
I have Hawaiian flowers.
Those are Hawaiian?
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Okay.
They, meaning his wife, told him that.
Yeah, okay. She told me beforehand.
All right. They're orange. I have raccoons on my feet. So they're not actually feet now, they're just raccoons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they probably get into a lot of things. All right.
Sunny also competed. This says, if you can read me, bring me some milk.
Like that. Okay. All right, Catherine, who wins?
I feel like Sunny has to win.
I know.
I think so too. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Good job, Sunny.
But he was asleep the whole time.
Well, we'll have to.
Things just come naturally to him, okay?
Okay. He is my son.
Right. All right. Okay. Sunny wins. So let me ask you this. We just have a few minutes left. You have an opportunity to sit down with a family that has a newborn and they didn't grow up seeing parents tithe, but they know, I don't know how they know, but that giving needs to be part of their life of faith. What kind of wisdom would you give them to take new steps towards gospel generosity?
I would say just do it. Like, you just have to, you just got to bite the bullet and do it. Like, I know it's scary in the beginning.
Yeah.
I've seen it be scary for people before. Like, I've seen them give their tithe and say, I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah.
But God always provides. Mm. And he also tells us in the scriptures, like, you are to tithe. In Malachi 3:10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is the church, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there won't be room enough for it.
Yeah.
Like, God says, test me. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
And we're not really supposed to test the Lord most of the time, but he really means it to give.
Yeah, do you believe me?
That he's saying, I'll prove it I'll provide to you and I'll take care of everything generously. And he always does. We're in America. We're provided so well. And maybe it's not being provided through your paycheck, but maybe God just has a plan where someone's going to come to your house and provide whatever you need.
Wow,
like, you don't know how God's going to work, but he'll take care of it.
We've heard those stories of people who are like, I don't know where this is coming from, and God provides. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. He also, I think a practical step is to know, is a budget is the practical step.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if you do not have it allocated of where your money is going to go in the beginning of the month, before you get the money, then you will not have it whenever you need it.
Yeah,
later.
You'll wonder, like, where did all
you'll
my
wonder
money
where
go?
It went.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A budget is the most practical step of allocating it before it's there. Yes. And it also gives you a peace of mind of where is my money going. And when you look forward on the month ahead and look back on the previous month, then you'll say, this is where my money went. Like, I'll get uneasy about, well, I feel like we just spent a ton of money this month, or like, you know, I feel like we're spending too much. And then we go to the budget, I'm like, okay, look,
the budget
all of this is right here.
Yeah.
And it's not to say, the budget says all this is accounted for and this is where it went and this is where we agreed it was gonna go.
Yeah.
And so if you do not have it, if you're not intentional about it and being intentional in your giving, then it's just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
And you'll constantly think, well, next month I'll do it.
And part of being a good steward, like, God gives you these tools, including money. Part of being a good steward is managing it wisely.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't manage your paycheck, like, do you think God's gonna try to give you more tools to manage? Like, part of managing it is budgeting, which I know is, like, very offensive
to so many
people.
Well, and he instructs us to budget. He says, I can't remember the scripture reference, but he talks about building a tower and then not counting the cost, and so you get halfway up and you don't even finish it.
Yeah.
And you just have to plan it.
Right. It has to be planned and intentional about what you're doing.
Yeah. We went to that, used that parable recently. You know, you live life based upon a plan, and if you don't, it's considered unwise. Mm-hmm. And that's what we mean by budget, is you intentionally plan how you use the resources God has given you. Okay, we also love to give our folks an opportunity to share a resource that has been very helpful and meaningful in their life. Now, one of the reasons I asked the Johnsons to come talk to us today, as you can tell, they're pretty passionate about generosity and just having a very faith-filled mindset when it comes to money and resources. So, tell me about your resources you want to share.
We each picked one.
Okay. Oh,
I'm going first.
I didn't tell you could do that.
I'm sorry. We're breaking a rule. This is Financial Peace University. I don't know which camera to look at, so I'm looking at all of them. Okay. This is a class that you can take. You can actually take it here because Peyton and I are going to teach it in the fall.
Did y'all hear that? They're going to lead a group in the fall on Financial Peace.
On Financial Peace University. And this class, it comes with a book, so you can find a book like this and go through it. But really, it's the class that I want to tell people about for the resource, because you're with all of these people who are trying to figure out how to be financially wise and how to use money how God intended it. God talks about money all the time in the Bible, but for whatever reason, money is a very taboo topic in our society. So this makes it not taboo, it makes it really easy to manage your money, and it just makes good sense and it follows biblical principles. So we're gonna go through what God says about money in this class and teach everyone how to budget. Any questions that you have on investing, insurance, how do I save for retirement? How do I buy a house? Is it wise for me to do so?
Yeah.
I mean, like, all the crazy money stuff that you should know before you exit high school, so that you know, like, before you sign that college loan, what you're actually doing. But you'll learn all of it here, and it's never too late to learn, and it's also really never too early to learn. So we want entire families to come. We don't care how young or how old you are. We just know that these tools are so helpful. We took this class. We signed up for it like a week after we got home from our honeymoon and took the class together. And we've been married for almost 3 years, and we just don't fight about money. Mm. There are plenty of things to fight about in marriage. Money doesn't need to be one of them.
Yes.
But it's also the number one reason for divorce. Yeah. So we know that we're crazy. We know that it's weird. We don't fight about that. But it's all because of this class. So
really
we want to help everyone else with that.
Steer you guys.
Yes.
Even in marriage. That's wonderful.
Gave us direction.
Yeah. Okay.
And the resource I looked at is called The Legacy Journey. And this book was written by Dave Ramsey after you take the Financial Peace class. Really, it's geared towards what do you do? You're in this process of building wealth and stewarding God's money, but this is how should you frame your mind for that stewardship? And it dives deep into biblical scripture on money all throughout scripture. And it is the best book when we're talking about scriptural references. This was, the Financial Peace was made for everybody,
the basics,
regardless of faith. Mm-hmm. But this book was written in view of through the Bible.
Through gospel
generosity. And it's also talking about building a legacy of the next generation and the next generation after that. And mm-hmm. how can you use God's tools in order to further his kingdom in multiple generations of people.
And just give radically. Yeah. Like this book goes through all of it.
And it goes through a lot of dreaming about how we can affect the future of people and of humanity. Mm-hmm. So that's the resource that I point to.
Well, thank you guys for sharing that. So Financial Peace University is coming up in the fall in this other book, The Legacy Journey, saturated with scripture and helping us really think about money and how to live out the gospel through the resources God has given us. So thank you guys.
Yep.
Thank
grateful
you.
For that.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I think this has been great. And I think anyone listening to this would be highly encouraged to be generous and even begin giving in a small way as an act of worship mm-hmm. and to obey God, mm-hmm. what he called us to do. So thank you guys. Thank you, Sonny.
Oh, he had a lot of input.
Thank you, Sonny, for joining us for our Logos conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.